During the spring period of March, April, and May 2011, 46% of the U.S. had abnormally wet or dry conditions, the greatest such area during the 100-year period of record. On average, just 21% of the country has exceptionally wet conditions or exceptionally dry conditions during spring. In addition, heavy one-day precipitation events, the kind that caused the worst flooding, were also at an all-time high in the spring of 2011. We start with the South, which has been known for high temperatures, low rainfall and everlasting sun, but this drought is already unbearable, with the summer season beginning a few days ago. The Southwest is engulfed with smoke from the record fires in Arizona, Texas, and New Mexico. Firefighters from more than 43 states are involved in the operation to combat these ongoing fires. Lake Travis in Texas is drying up at a rate of 1 foot each week and has already been marked at 23 feet below average for the month of June. In Houston, prior to Wednesday, the city had gone a remarkable milestone of 148 days without getting at least 1/2 inch of rain during this period, which was dating back more than a century. It is not just the Southwest that is desperate for relief, so is the Southeast, where Palm Beach and surrounding counties are currently involved in what is being called an exceptional drought. Palm Beach County is under a burn ban, along with the rest of Florida, and a state of emergency has been declared by Governor Rick Scott. Over 440 brush fires are currently burning in Florida. Fires and floods.
You gonna rise, I'm singing. Yes, you spread your wings and you take to the sky. But till that morning.
All right, I want to switch gears now and talk about an issue that a few of you, our viewers, have been asking us to shed some light on. It's an issue that not many news organizations are talking about at all.
Good evening. Tonight in this country, three separate nuclear facilities are in danger, two of them because of floodwaters, one of them because of fire.
We reported earlier the Las Conchas fire sweeping across the Jemez Mountains northwest of Santa Fe is now threatening Los Alamos National Laboratory.
Again, there are two other nuclear facilities in the news tonight, but in the northern plains, the problem, the threat to the plants comes from water and not fire.
Fish are jumping and the cotton is high. Oh, your daddy's rich and your ma is good-looking.
Is it over? Take taken her for granted shamelessly.
At the Los Alamos National Lab in New Mexico, there's now a mandatory evacuation of the city in effect. 12,000 people on the move because of the fire burning less than a mile away from the facility, which, as you may know, has always been shrouded in secrecy.
It's spreading. When are we willing to change or make a sacrifice? Is it too late? We're in too deep. We're heading down the path to a trophy.
The good news is that at Los Alamos, they no longer store atomic warheads, so we no longer have to worry about explosions or anything like that. The problem is radioactive waste, essentially plutonium-contaminated waste, because plutonium is found at Los Alamos. Plutonium is one of the most toxic chemicals known to science. A particle, a microgram that you can't even see, lodged in your lungs could cause lung cancer. And that's the problem. There are between 20 to 30,000 barrels of plutonium-contaminated waste, everything from gloves to clothing to fuel rods. And we have to be very careful about how that is treated and what happens in a fire.
See the curtains hanging in the window in the evening on a Friday night. Little light is shining through the window, lets me know everything's alright. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. See the paper laying on the sidewalk, a little music from the house next door. So I walk on up to the door.
I think all of us should have our ears glued to the radio, because right now things are getting worse by the hour. However, if the fire stops at the gate and does not go into the laboratory itself, then of course we can breathe a sigh of relief. However, if the fire starts to penetrate into the laboratories, then it's a sign of concern. Then we don't really know, because the government has not told us which buildings house which amounts of radiation. The government has been rather tight-lipped about that, and we simply don't know the location of all the nuclear materials on site.
The Mississippi River flood this spring was among the largest and most costly ever recorded in the U.S. this past century, comparable in extent to the major floods of 1927 and 1993. Record snowfall above the Missouri and Platte Rivers have contributed to flooding along both of these rivers. The Missouri River hit historic highs around northwest Missouri on Wednesday. The Missouri River will remain dangerously high for the foreseeable future, said Colonel Anthony Hoffman of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. They show shorelines beating every mark on record, even 1993 peaks. Another flood happened yesterday when the fourth largest city in North Dakota, Minute, where 33% of the city's population had evacuated. The amount of record floods this year is unmatched, just like the thousand-year flood that hit Tennessee last year. This is another landmark. Again, it is not just the Midwest. North Dakota and Minnesota have seen record flooding for each of the last 3 years. And like the South, even Hawaii has had drought issues this year. This, along with the worst tornado season ever, have many people wondering how quickly climate change can happen, despite the media reporting as if nothing is happening, or let alone linked together. As I mentioned earlier, the U.S. has been hit by Mother Nature hard, but the rest of the world has been hit much worse.
Again, there are two other nuclear facilities in the news tonight. But in the northern plains, the problem, the threat to the plants comes from water and not fire.
If it keeps on raining, that bitch going to break. If it keeps on raining, that bitch going to break. When the levee breaks, have no place to stay.
And the flooding in the Upper Plains, which has shattered records dating back to the 1800s, has surrounded now a nuclear plant in Nebraska and threatens another. All of this while the suffering and the high water remain in Minot, North Dakota.
I can feel it. I can feel it. I don't want to die tonight.
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 I don't
want to die tonight.
This happened at Fukushima. When the tsunami came into Fukushima, the first thing that was destroyed was the emergency service water pumps. And we call that the ultimate heat sink. If you can't dump the heat from the nuclear core, you're going to eventually have fuel damage. So that same thing could happen at Fort Calhoun.
In the control room, can you hear it? There's an alarm, should we clear it? Don't be afraid of a thrown turbine blade working at a nuclear power plant. Gone away is our heat sink. Should we scram? What do you think? We'll reset the sun and start another pump working at a nuclear power plant. In containment, we can build a snowman and pretend he's from the NRC. He'll say, are you in spec? We'll say, no, man. We're high on our condenser, Delta T. Later on, we'll conspire not to talk about the fire. What's with all the gloom and doom? It's not that big a plume. Working at a nuclear power plant. Cock the rods, shoot some water, pay the fuel, it's getting hotter. We're watching the reactor, multiplication factor. Working at a nuclear power plant. In containment, we can dim the lights now. Sit around and watch the deep blue glow. Not much fun if you're afraid of heights now. To run the polar crane and look below. Later on, we'll inquire why the flaw rate is climbing higher. There's no need for commotion. It's just carbon steel corrosion. Working at a nuclear power plant. Working at a nuclear power plant. I love working at a nuclear power plant.
This site now is completely submersed, and it's obviously mud. And I'm concerned about two things. There's an enormous amount of safety-related pipes and safety-related electrical wires that are now not only underground, but underground surrounded by mud and water. For instance, those emergency service water pumps I mentioned in the intake structure get their power from an underground line that runs between the plant and that building. So one hopes that the line does not get waterlogged, the electric wire does not get waterlogged, because that would shut the pumps down. The second thing is that the building is going to settle after the flood leaves, and you know, just like any structure that's sitting in a wet, swampy environment. And my concern is the structural analysis and the seismic analysis. These things are made to be earthquake-proof. I hope that there'll be a new seismic and structural analysis done just to make sure that the flood and the soggy earth beneath the plant haven't changed how the plant will respond to an earthquake.
Ain't it a shame that our short little memory never seemed to learn the lessons of history? We keep making the same mistakes over and over and over and over again. And then we wonder why we're in the shape we're in.
And in Japan, where the biggest story in decades is simply not being reported with the urgency it deserves, Arnold Gunderson, a former nuclear industry senior vice president, recently made the following remark. Fukushima is the biggest industrial catastrophe in the history of mankind. He also went on to scare us even more with this quote. TEPCO announced they had a melt-through. A meltdown is when the fuel collapses to the bottom of the reactor, and a melt-through means it has melted through some layers. That blob is incredibly radioactive, and now you have water on top of it. The water picks up enormous amounts of radiation, so if you add more water, then you are generating hundreds of thousands of tons of highly radioactive water. End quote. Elevated levels of radiation are being reported by Japanese bloggers all over eastern Japan. There are reports of sick children all over the region. TEPCO has been injecting water into the three crippled reactor at a rate of some 500 tons daily to keep them from overheating. But much of the water, some of it highly radioactive, is leaking out from damaged parts and is collecting in the basements of the reactor. TEPCO has also stated water could overflow in about a week once the storage tank that the water is being transferred to is filled. An advisor to the government of Japan estimates that an area 17 times the size of Manhattan is probably going to be uninhabitable. TEPCO also said that it would start to build a giant cover shield around the first reactor building for a stopgap measure to prevent further release of radioactive substances into the atmosphere. The seriousness of this issue cannot be underestimated or underreported. This is exactly what the mainstream media is doing.
I can feel it. I don't want to die tonight.
Good, thanks for joining us. Do they have control of the situation at the site?
No. It's still a ticking time bomb. Realize that after the big Sumatra tsunami, 90 days after, 3 months after that, there was a huge aftershock. If they have another aftershock and they're not in cold shutdown yet till next year, the accident could start all over again. It's like hanging by your fingernails. Yeah, it's stable, but you're hanging by your fingernails.
Americans think this crisis is over, or that some even think that maybe it's solved or it's contained. It's not. What's happening right now?
In the last 2 weeks, everything we knew about that accident has been turned upside down. We were told three partial meltdowns, don't worry about it. Now we know it was 100% core melt in all three reactors. Radiation, minimal, that was released. Now we know it was comparable to the radiation at Chernobyl. And as far as evacuation, yeah, 12 miles, that's it. You don't have to evacuate beyond 12 miles. Now they find hotspots, four hotspots outside the evacuation zone. 34,000 school children now have radiation badges when they go to
kindergartners
school.
Kindergartners with radiation badges.
Down to 4 years of age. Can you imagine that? Kindergarten kids with radiation badges going to school. So all the mythology of the accident has been turned upside down because utility has finally fessed up to how severe this accident really was.
In your view, did they not know how bad it was, or they knew and they didn't tell, or they just were completely blown away by the scope of the disaster?
I'm a physicist, and we tried to reconstruct the accident in our computers given the feeble amount of information they gave us. We knew it was much more severe than they were saying because radiation was coming out left and right. So, in other words, they lied to us. They knew how much radiation was coming out. They knew the danger. They knew how much core melting was taking place. But they tried to put a happy face on it.
As a reporter, within hours of the earthquake and tsunami, within hours, not even a day, there were already statements from the company and from the International Atomic Energy Association saying that there had been safe shutdown of all of the reactors. And we know, of course, in the end that simply wasn't true. But from the very beginning, they were trying to tell us that this was a safe situation.
Within hours of the accident, we now know it was like the Keystone Cops. People that are clueless, headless, just running around crazy, not knowing what to do. We can now reconstruct that accident minute by minute, hour by hour, and we can see this chaos that erupted in the leadership of the utility.
What's happening to the people who are working there now?
Well, as you know, workers are being sent in, and they're getting, like a year's dose of radiation just within like 10 minutes at a time. At Chernobyl, 600,000 workers had to be mobilized, each one going in just for a few minutes, each one getting a medal from Gorbachev.
This will be the 100-year cleanup. How long will it take to clean this up, in your view?
50 to 100 years.
And we're not there yet. We're not to the point of talking about the cleanup yet because they haven't stopped the reaction. It's still happening.
Cleanup hasn't even started yet. They're not in cold shutdown till next year. Cold shutdown is when boiling stops.
Right.
It's boiling water right there at the reactor, releasing radiation into the environment and releasing radiation into gigantic vats.
How are they storing and disposing of this stuff?
That's the killer, because they have all these vats that are filling up now. They may have to dump it into the ocean again. At that point, the Chinese, the Koreans, the fishermen, they get up all in arms because there's so much damage that every time you put water in, it leaks right out again, highly radioactive, and it's filling up at the site now.
So what do they do with it?
Right now, they're just counting the number of gallons as they pile up, desperately trying to bring more vats in. But once they saturate, they're going to have to dump. And at that point, it's another crisis.
And we pray to our Lord, who we know is American. He reigns from on high. He speaks to us through middlemen.
Bible prophecy is a very, very important subject for every Christian to study, to help you better understand current events, to put things in perspective, and most importantly, to help you have that inner peace of knowing that God is on his throne and in control.
And he shepherds his flock. We sing out and we praise his name. He supports us in war. He presides over football games. And the right will prevail. All our troubles shall be resolved.
Consider again that pale blue dot. Imagine that you take a good long look at it. Imagine you're staring at the dot for any length of time. And then, try to convince yourself that God created the whole universe for one of the 10 million or so species of life that inhabit that speck of dust. Now take it a step further. Imagine that everything was made just for a single shade of that species, or gender, or ethnic or religious subdivision. We can recognize here a shortcoming, in some circumstances serious, in our ability to understand the world. Characteristically, we seem compelled to project our own nature onto nature. Man, in his arrogance, thinks himself a great work, worthy of the interposition of a deity. Darwin wrote telegraphically in his notebook, "More humble, and I think truer, to consider him created from animals." Close quote. We're Johnny-come-latelys. We live in the cosmic boondocks. We emerged from microbes and muck, Apes are our cousins. Our thoughts and feelings are not fully under our own control. And on top of all this, we're making a mess of our planet and becoming a danger to ourselves. The trapdoor beneath our feet swings open. We find ourselves in bottomless freefall. If it takes a little myth and ritual to get us through a night that seems endless, who among us cannot sympathize and understand? We long to be here for a purpose, even though, despite much self-deception, none is evident. The significance of our lives and our fragile planet is then determined only by our own wisdom and courage. We are the custodians of life's meaning. We long for a parent to care for us, to forgive us our errors, to save us from our childish mistakes. But knowledge is preferable to ignorance. Better by far to embrace the hard truth than a reassuring fable. Modern science has been a voyage into the unknown, with a lesson in humility waiting at every stop. Our common sense intuitions can be mistaken. Our preferences don't count. We do not live in a privileged reference frame. If we crave some cosmic purpose, then let us find ourselves a worthy goal.
Here we face a critical branch point in history. What we do with our world right now will propagate down through the centuries and powerfully affect the destiny of our descendants. It is well within our power to destroy our civilization and perhaps our species as well, if we capitulate to superstition or greed or stupidity. We can plunge our world into a darkness deeper than the time between the collapse of classical civilization and the Italian Renaissance. But we are also capable of using our compassion and our intelligence, our technology and our wealth, to make an abundant and meaningful life for every inhabitant of this planet, to enhance enormously our understanding of the universe.
I can feel it. I don't want to die tonight.